We're listening to Ella Fitzgerald singing Mack the Knife to a live audience. She had completely forgotten the lyrics and had to ad-lib four whole choruses. The result was a brilliant display of improvising that ended up on the Grammy-winning 1960 album Ella in Berlin. What is the value of perfection, anyway? Mistakes are human, and music is an expression of humanity. Bloopers are therefore an essential part of music making. There are lots of mistakes on classic recordings, especially from the time when fixing them meant spending expensive studio time splicing tape. But no flaw will diminish the effect of a strong piece of music. And a mistake is a good reminder that performers are daredevils, skirting the edge of disaster for our enjoyment. Otis Redding's Sitting on the Dock of the Bay was recorded before he had written all the words. The plan was to add a third verse later. He just whistled through it for the session. That verse was never recorded, but the whistling is the most distinctive part of the tune. It's always fun to share a mutual laugh with a fellow human owning up to a mistake, like with the Beach Boys completely messing up the words of the second verse of their hit Barbara Ann. Perhaps when we aren't moved by a song, it's because it's too perfect.
And we welcome you to Musical Space. I'm Fletcher Powell here, of course, with Mark Foley. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Hi, Fletcher. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and this thing about mistakes, it's something that's really fascinating to me, not just in the musical world, but especially in like the world of photography or film. I'm thinking specifically of the end of The Graduate, during which the camera kept rolling, and we get this really melancholy look from Dustin Hoffman. And
was that in the last... In the last scene on the bus.
Yeah, the last scene on the bus. See, so they were supposed to just be laughing and carrying on as the bus rolls away, but they'd had a really bad day and Mike Nichols had been really mean to them. And instead, they just kept the camera rolling, and there's this really bittersweet feeling to the end of the whole thing. And it was just a huge mistake.
Wow, that's amazing, because I love that scene, because it kind of puts a whole new cast on the movie, like, okay, look what we've done, now what are we going to do?
Exactly, right. And so, like I said, this idea of mistakes, and especially mistakes in music that maybe even enhance what we're listening to, is really fascinating to me.
Oh, absolutely. As a professional musician, I mean, this is my world. It's just like dealing with something that's not 100%, and I'm starting to think that my best stuff is my B game, you know? Like my yeah. Plan B is really what you're going to hear.
Right. And so you've brought us a number of examples. Looks like some fun stuff of musicians making mistakes in their songs. We're starting off, of course, as we heard, with Ella Fitzgerald and Mack the Knife.
Yeah, she just nails this in such a unnailed way. You know, yeah, I can't wait for you to hear it. She's just having fun with the band and just rolling with it. I think maybe she forgot one chorus and ended up turning it into four choruses. It's just amazing.
But it was the swing.
Moving along from Ella Fitzgerald to The Police and Roxanne, tell us what happened here.
Yeah, okay, so Sting, the lead singer, accidentally sits on a piano keyboard near an open mic, And somehow the wrongness was just so right for the beginning of the tune. I think they're playing with tape speed at the time too, if I remember correctly, like the guitar comes in on the wrong speed. So they're, I think, maybe just trying to make it not seem quite so serious at the beginning of the tune. You can hear them laughing about it at the beginning.
Something about the beginning of songs. We had Sting sitting on a piano keyboard right there at the beginning of Roxanne. You have War and Why Can't We Be Friends. Something goes quite wrong a couple seconds into the song.
Yeah, this is kind of a case in point, isn't it? I mean, I've heard this tune hundreds of times. It's a great tune. It's got a great feeling to it. You know, a real lighthearted tune. And it starts out with a really exposed piano part. And you know, like I say, I've heard it 100 times, but I've never noticed that about 2 seconds in, there's this real clunker right in the piano part. Has no bearing on the feeling whatsoever on the tune. I think it probably adds to the tune a little bit. Unfortunately, and I kind of apologize, now that you've heard it, you can't unhear it. So I hope I haven't wrecked the tune for you. But for me, the tune is actually better in my eyes. So Louie, I keep thinking about that John Belushi scene where he's dancing to this tune in the movie Animal House. That kind of nails the feeling of this. Uh-huh. There's a very loose feel to this tune, obviously, and the singer comes in just glaringly early, like steps on the guitar solo before the guitar solo is over. It doesn't matter at all. It doesn't stop John Belushi from dancing to this. This is the Trashmen singing Louie.
Next one, Death Cab for Cutie. I know this song, and I didn't actually realize this was what happened at the end of the song.
Yeah, I love this song. This is a great band. If you don't know Death Cab for Cutie, this is a song called Pity and Fear on their Narrow Stairs album. And they're recording this. I think they're probably doing the main rhythm tracks for this song. And the tape recorder breaks right at the ending of the song, and it breaks at just the perfect time, because I don't know, the song is kind of going on, maybe they're building up to a fade out or something, but it makes this abrupt ending that just kind of puts a period at the end of the sentence. It's really poignant.
And then something that we sometimes have to worry about in radio, which is sound bleeding through different mics.
Right,
You talk about Led Zeppelin and Whole Lot of Love.
Yeah. I've wondered about this thing for decades. This big breakdown right before the end of the tune where the drums come back in. Robert Plant is singing pretty much solo. And there's this weird echo that happens. You'll hear it, and it's a pre-echo. I thought maybe it might have been tape bleed. Sometimes if you store tape incorrectly, the track will bleed over into the next, you know, the tape as it's winding. And but then I realized that the words in the pre-echo or the notes that he's singing in the pre-echo are different from the ones in the main vocal track. So I did a whole bunch of research, and I think the consensus is that what was happening is that John Bonham, the drummer, is playing along, and then there's this breakdown, and he's playing along to a vocal track that was recorded earlier that they scrapped, and then recorded over. So you're hearing that earlier vocal track bleeding through. I don't know if it's his headphones or some speakers that he's listening to, but it's a really cool effect. And Jimmy Page was producing this in the mixdown, and he decided it sounded great. So they kept it in. This is Led Zeppelin, Whole Lot of Love.
That's probably a good place to take it out for Musical Space this week. Thanks, Mark Foley.
Thanks, Fletcher.
And for KMUW, I'm Fletcher Powell.